before the gods, I sing your praise. I bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your steadfast love and faithfulness. For you have exalted your name and your word above everything. On the day I called, you answered me. You strengthened my life. All the rulers of the earth shall praise you, O Lord, for they have heard the words of your mouth, and they shall sing of the ways of the Lord, for great is the glory of the Lord. For the Lord is high, but regards the lowly, yet knows the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me. O Lord, fulfill your purpose for me. O Lord, may your steadfast love endure forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. May God bless the reading of his word. And now, my sermon. good morning. I want to thank you all for inviting me to come and speak today. I appreciate that. Before I read my scripture, I want to just tell you a little bit about myself. I was born in Meadville. I grew up, went to Meadville High School, went to college to become a special ed teacher, and I taught special ed for 43 years and retired about 5 years ago. So it was a wonderful, wonderful vocation. I enjoyed every moment of it. In the midst of all that, I met my husband, and I have moved around with him a little bit. We lived in Alabama for a little while and then moved back here. He got a job at Maplewood High School as a math teacher. I got to stay home with the girls for a few years, and we have two daughters. And then I went back to teaching, and I taught at Maplewood also. So that's where I retired from Maplewood. We love the community out there. We love the school, and I pray for the students every day in those in all the schools. It's very important to do that. My husband is a part-time local pastor. He is a pastor at Little Cooley United Methodist and New Richmond United Methodist. So when he became a part-time pastor, I thought, well, I might as well go ahead and do lay speaking. So I took some classes, and that's how I ended up here. But thank you so much for having me. My scripture today is from James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, Taming the Tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed, and you have been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So, I'm very warm. Did they put this for me here? Because I need some. Thank you. So today we're going to talk about What does our tongue say about us? The tongue, like I told the kids, is a muscle, and we exercise it every day in many ways, by eating and tasting different foods, and by speaking. So have you heard that saying, sticks and stones may break your bones, but words will never harm you? That's kind of a false statement, in my opinion anyway. How many times have you been hurt by the words of other people? How many times has someone stung you with words about how you looked, what job you have, anything about your family, about your faith? Have any of you been hurt simply by something someone has said to you or about you? And if you think back in your life, especially young people are very good at talking about each other, especially with social media today. It's the worst. They can say things on social media that they would never speak to someone face to face. So words can hurt you, and words do hurt people. So in this passage from the book of James, he's very clear. We can do a lot of damage with our tongues. He likens our tongues to tiny sparks in a forest that can destroy the entire forest with its destructive fire, with a simple spark to begin with. And we've seen that, those forest fires out west, and how they spread so quickly by one simple little act. He goes on to say that man has the capability to tame animals of the land, sea, and air, but we cannot tame our own tongue. He calls it a restless evil full of deadly poison. Now, think about this tongue of yours, this muscle. It can do so many different things. It can taste the finest things in the world. The ice creams the kids were talking about. We can taste the best chocolate in the world. We can taste the best steaks, the best coffee, all of those wonderful things we can do with our tongues. But it's also an instrument of communication that you can't find in any other creature, this communication that we can say with our words. We can form words, words of building up, words of encouragement, words of faith, or we can form words of destruction, words of shame, words of darkness. People's lives have been ruined by a mere rumor or a false accusation. As a teacher for many years, I was a high school teacher, and I saw every day the impact words can have on students. I had special ed kids, so it was particularly hard for them sometimes. I always said to my kids, I call them my kids, and I had a poster of this in my room all the time, and here's what it said. It said, before you speak, think. One, is it necessary? Two, is it true? Three, is it kind? Four, will it hurt anyone? And the last one, will it improve on the silence? I thought those were good words to live by when you're thinking about saying something to someone. Because if you don't first think about what you need to say, guess who comes in there and works his way into your heart? The devil. He'll come in there and he'll control your tongue. Have you ever done, you just want to say something so bad and it's on that tip of your tongue, and then the devil gets in there and you just say it. And if you hurt someone with those words, you can't take them back. You can't take those words back and put them back in your mouth. So you must first let God work in your heart. So use that same tongue that prays, that sings praises to Jesus' work and says words of truth and kindness. So use that tongue instead of the devil's tongue. So think about what you're going to say before you say what you were thinking. I don't believe that James wanted us to not be truthful. Lying probably was right up there with the harm we might do with our tongues. I believe James wanted us to use our tongues to praise and lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. I think we need to pray and think about everything we say to someone that might potentially be something confrontational. Paul says that a large ship in the ocean is steered by a very small rudder, a small thing that controls something so much bigger. And that's our tongue. It's a small muscle in our body, but it has the potential to either do great, great good or great harm. So I have a little story to tell you about a man who's working at a university in the student affairs department. Excuse me. It was move-in day, and as was his usual thing, he handed out lollipops to all of the incoming freshmen. He would go when they were waiting in line to check into their dorm rooms. So he was giving them out, and he came to a young woman and her parents, and then behind them stood a young man. So he handed the lollipop to the young man and told him to give it to the young woman in front of him and tell her that she had a beautiful smile. The young man did that, and that was that. It wasn't until 3 years later that the young woman came up to him and told him that how incredibly significant that was for her. As she had been standing in that line with her parents, she was overcome with debilitating anxiety, and she had been seriously considering withdrawing from school because of that anxiety. But because of what that man did with that lollipop, she stayed the course. She was in her senior year of college when she saw him again, and she told him all this. And guess what? The young man that handed her the lollipop was her significant other now. So we have no clue what an impact our words can have on people. A simple little thing like that lollipop made a huge difference in that girl's life. Now, there are probably other things involved in that too, but think about that. That one simple gesture. You have a beautiful smile. You look so happy today. You're doing such a great job at your work. Any of those small little things can make a difference in someone's life, but it depends on how we use our tongue. There may be 300 million people in this country and billions on this planet, but guess what? There is only one you. Consider this. What impact does your tongue have on the people around you? Will you use the tongue that says the name of Jesus, that sings praises to our Lord, or will you use the tongue that can spark a terrible fire? You can produce good, or you can produce sadness. We all stumble. We all have foot-in-mouth moments, don't we? Where you wish you hadn't said what you said and that you could take it back. But with that same tongue, we can ask for forgiveness. We can say, I am sorry. We never know, as in that lollipop story, when our words can make a profound difference in the life of someone else. As I look around, some of us have lived in this world longer than others. So think back in your life and ask yourself, who might I have impacted with my words? I know that many of you are parents, aunts, uncles, grandparents, great-grandparents, and I hope that the people that you have impacted have told you these things. That young lady that went back to that guy to tell him how much that meant to her probably made his year. It probably made him realize that the little things that he was doing really did make a difference. So I hope that people in your lives have told you how you have impacted their lives with the things that you have said to them, that you have made a difference in their lives. So remember, our tongues can make a profound difference in someone's life simply by the things that we say. So we must always be prayerful and deliberate in God with what you say. Always pray for the right words. And stop and think, is it true? Is it necessary? Will it make a positive impact on the person that you're talking to by saying it? If you answer no to any of those questions, then God's probably telling you don't say it. So remember, pray. Think about your tongue and the positive impact you can have in the world around you. Amen.